Welcome to the January 10th edition of the Zuch and Wild podcast. Everyone, hope you all had a great Christmas, a great New Year's. I know I enjoyed my break. Zuch enjoyed his break. We're going to talk about it pretty soon. Went down to Phoenix for one of the games against BSU. But honestly, that was probably the only sad part of the break. Was BSU losing. It was a great refresh for everyone. But we got a great show. We're going to quickly touch on all the games that happened last week, talk a little bit transfer portal, get some opinions that we've been waiting for the offseason about the transfer portal to get off our chest. And then we're going to dive into those amazing semifinal matchups, which, Zuch, I want to get your opinion on this. Not any real SEC teams in. Is Texas? Paul Feinbaum is spinning right now, and Kirk Herbstreit might have to go into a witness protection program. But we're really fired up about this show, as always. We'll have the list, but Zuch, I want to kick it off to you because the first game we are going to talk about, because we got a lot to fit in this show, so we're going to go in chronological order. Talk Penn State, BSU. You had boots on the ground in Glendale. I want to ask you a two-parter. One, just how was the environment? How was the atmosphere? And two, being there in person, what did you think? Like, it just, something felt off about BSU, and I can see it through the TV. So I wanted to get like that feeling that you saw in person with them as well.
I just kind of felt maybe not the first drive, because they had a pretty good drive on the first drive. Let me grab my notes too far away, but the. I just felt like the whole time that the offense just could never, I don't know, like it was almost like they were rusty, I guess, which can happen when you have such a long break. But the offense just could never get going, and they stayed trying to do the same thing for far too long, I thought. I thought, not that the game was over, because they made it a 3-point game in the third quarter. But when they made it 14-7, and at midway through the second or beginning of the second, whenever that was, they had like four straight drives where the defense stopped Penn State from scoring. Like, it really, I was like, all right, this is going to get out of hand when Ginty fumbled and Penn State had the ball in plus territory. And then luckily they just muffed a snap. But I was looking back, and it was just, and I have it right here, they just couldn't do anything offensively. Like, Ginty, as great as he's been, and it's not really his fault, he had 103 rushing yards. 39 of them came on the second to last drive. And one of those runs was like third and 20, and they ran a halfback draw. So it was, that to me was more of a, all right, like Penn State was obviously not in like a 3-4 at that time to stop the run. They're like, all right, it's going to be a pass. And then a couple plays later, he got a 13-yard carry. But if you take away those two carries, he averaged 2.4 yards a carry.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. You know, this Penn State defense was advertised. And, you know, what's interesting is that Abdul Carter was out the whole time. So that's why, like, I kind of went back and forth. And, you know, you texted a good point, and I'm going to steal this, is that if you're a Boise State fan, you can say, man, we had a lot of BS penalties that were self-inflicted that they haven't committed all year, that for some reason they committed during the Fiesta Bowl. That changes a game when you're BSU and you're playing a Penn State that is better than you.
Right.
And man, just call it what it is. BSU is a good team, but Penn State, they were favored for a reason. But on Penn, the reason I don't like be like, oh man, stupid penalties cost us. It's like, well, if Abdul Carter plays, like, maybe it's different. But I agree. I think, you know, the one offensive play that you could, it was like they were doing the same thing, trying to set up. And they did set up that long, louder touchdown. But other than that,
I kind of felt was like more of a, like a broken play on Penn State's end, because he was so, I mean, I can say that it's a broken play. It's still a touchdown. Like, it was a good play call and stuff. But, I mean, I did a lot of research on it when I got home, because it's different watching on TV than when you're there. Like, we watch a lot of football, so we see, like, I think we watched games a little bit differently than, like, the average fan, but I mean, I could tell during that game, I was like, we're not getting any explosive plays. So when I got home the next day from the game, I looked it up. There was four explosive plays all game long for the BSU offense. And that it just, you have to have more. You have to have more than that. And they were spent far too long just trying to run Jenty. And I get it. Like, Jenty's the one who got you there. But you got to – there was chances for BSU to win that game. They just let them all slip. Like, once to me, once it got to 17-7, even when BSU scored to make it 17-14, I kind of was like, I just didn't really see Penn State blow. I didn't see BSU scoring enough to come back in that game.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, and no credit to Penn State. I want to reiterate. What do you mean, no credit? I'm going to give credit. So don't come at me, Penn State Nation, and the masked freaks that like wear those masks and full uniforms. But they were as advertised. The defense was as advertised. I will say, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this because we got a lot to speed through. I'm going to talk more about this in our semifinal preview, was that Penn State offense still looks human, if that makes sense. But
yeah, and that's what was weird is I didn't understand why they didn't keep running the ball. Like, I was like, all right, you guys are running the ball pretty much at will. I think like two guys had over 5 yards of carry at the end of the game. I would have kept running it and made BSU stop you, which it really didn't look like BSU could stop them from running the ball. And that's what you kind of worry about as like a fan of a G5 school is getting into that scenario where you just, and it changed a little bit when Carter went out, but those first few drives, I was like, all right, like we can't run the ball. Madsen is kind of getting pressured when he does go back to pass, and we can't, like that first Penn State drive, they just went straight down my, like,
yeah,
quickly down the field.
It was brutal, but hey, you know, good season, Penn State, very formidable. Last thing on this game, I want to ask you, Zuch, how was Troy, and do you think he was correct declaring the second drive of the game a must score?
Well, looking back, he was correct because we only had 14 points, and they ended up getting 14 also, on their next drive. So.
Sorry, how could we even forget just a brutal ending to Jonah Dalmas' career? Holy moly. That, and you know what? There has been cracks all year with Jonah Dalmas, who has had a great career, but this year looked almost like a freshman walk-on. Sorry.
Yeah, that first one, I don't know.
I've seen the cracks all year, and it came out, and it sucks because he's had a good career, but he just shat the bed that game.
And that's the thing is, and we've talked about it before, a little bit on here, but we have like a group chat with a bunch of friends that we talk a lot about BSU. And especially you and I talked about it. There was times at this all throughout the year that Jenty was getting hit like at the line of scrimmage, maybe a couple yards beyond it, but he was just breaking tackles because it's the Mountain West. And we're like, oh, like he's doing a lot of this work. Like it's not always a good, like it's a very impressive stat, but for your running back, for everyone to be like, oh yeah, like he broke all these tackles, blah, blah, blah. Like Penn State's a little bit different in that regard than San Jose State or Wyoming or whoever it may be. Like I worried not, and he had a great game considering like how often he was getting hit and how quick he was getting hit 100 yards, but it's a different level. So I do think at the end of the day, and it's the last thing I'll say on this, I think sometimes, not that BSU shouldn't have been there or anything like that, but it gives you a taste of what exact, like BSU last year, yeah, they played Washington, but it was a different, like different head coach, different quarterback. There's a, like Jenty at that point wasn't the number one running back, all that kind of stuff. I think it's good to get in a game like that and see where you need to improve on, if that makes sense. And I think, yeah, and that's not just a BSU thing, you know, you get there and you see like, all right, like we really got to focus on our defensive line. We got to go out and find some receivers who can really get open. Like, and I thought Mattson played pretty well. I know he had the three picks, but two of those were the game was kind of out of reach at that point. So I think it's a good thing for BSU. You kind of see what you need, and it gives you a game plan the next time you go in of like, all right, we worked on developing these spots. That's what we really, really needed, and we'll do better this upcoming time.
Oh, I agree. I think you're already seeing that in the portal. Moving on to the next game, we'll touch on real quick. This was the only like good game of the Dex games after. I mean, we had like the first half of Penn State BSU, but then Texas ASU. This is another game, Zuch, I thought was going to get out of hand really quick. You know, it gets like double digits early, and I'm like, oh boy, like this is not good for college football. But then I don't know what it is, and I wanted to ask you this. It's like, does the Texas offense just have like permanent brain farts every like five plays? Like, I don't
can't score like, in the red zone. Like, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
That's what kept him in the game. Like, Texas defense came out hot, and then the Texas defense fizzled out. Like, if I'm Texas and I'm a Texas fan, there's some questions that still aren't answered. Like, you're in the semifinals, but it's been like this weird year for Texas where it's like they almost like kind of Euro stepped their way through to the finals instead of like trudging their own path.
It's very similar to the in the first year of the 4-team playoff, that FSU team, that there was times that, and like, granted, I'm not saying it's like exactly the same. I know that FSU team was undefeated. This Texas team has a couple losses, but kind of like a similar thing of like at points in the season, like you're like at the beginning of the season, at least Ewers was a Heisman candidate. Jameis Winston was a returning Heisman winner, but he struggled at times in this. Like, the offense looked off at times in the season. A couple
at
times
least
this season,
Ewers didn't steal crab legs. That's a plus.
True. And then scream things in the cafeteria and be told you're not dressing for this game, and yeah, then come out in full uniform.
That's true. Although, have you heard the theory of the Jameis crab's leg, where he actually didn't? This is just a theory that he actually didn't steal the crab's legs. It was like part of his like illegal payments from FSU was like they were giving him like all these like premium meats and seafoods, and he had to tell them that he stole the crab legs so he could like save the like whatever like the organization from NCAA violations.
Taking one for the team. I respect it.
No, the effort right in the pee in the cafeteria all time. I digress. Back to Quinn Ewers.
But yeah, they've just had an odd year for them in like multiple ways, because you've had times where you're like, oh, they don't look that good, and then they'll come out and destroy somebody, and you're like, all right, they look really good. But that's been a lot of teams this year. It's, you know, I think that they're in a weird way, they're kind of like Ohio State, because you look at Ohio State, yeah, they killed Tennessee. They just killed Oregon. But, I mean, it's still the same team who lost to Michigan, lost to Oregon, mm-hmm. was in a dogfight with Nebraska. So it's not like they're on a heater right now, which might propel them to win the national title, because they have gotten hot and have just dog-walked two very good teams. Yeah. I mean, Oregon was undefeated, the only undefeated team. So,
I mean, last thing I'll say about this Texas ASU game is that Texas kicker, Sideshow Bob, man, he got saved. And you know, to credit ASU, man, they really gave it their all. I mean, that the only thing you could say was that fourth down defensive call by Dillingham. Maybe not the situation to bring a blitz. That's just me. But I think it's ticky tacky stuff. I thought ASU, it sucks, but like nothing to be ashamed about.
And I think kind of what I imagine he was thinking is they're not going to go to the end zone on this play. They're going to try to go short, and we're going to try to like at least get us like get to him before he can. I think they were trying to think like, all right, make him throw it like 7 yards or 8 yards down the field instead of 15. But yeah. I mean, it worked out for him. I think Kenny Dillingham's a great coach. I think he's funny. I think is going to be in like the NFL before too much longer. He might stay and be a college guy, but I don't know how long he'll stay at ASU.
That's fair. Hey, ASU, Sam Leavitt just signed that new NIL package.
He did.
I'm telling you, ASU, Sleeping Giant, largest school in the country.
Shout out to Phil Mickelson on his ASU. Did you see his ASU tweet? He said, I got to pull it up real quick. It was golden. It was something about drinking. He said, I'm so excited the Harvard of the West, Arizona State, is currently playing in the playoffs. It'll be a tough road since we are known more for our academics. Go Devils.
That's classic Phil. Over under on Phil watching the game, because you know he's a gambler. You know, so we'll see. But moving on to the game that you alluded to, Zuch, the Rose Bowl. Most beautiful setting in all of sports. I'm in Southern California, and it was a beautiful day, man. And the football game we got was far from beautiful. It was disgusting, and I honestly don't even want to talk about it. It was Ohio State came in and, for lack of a better term, bitched Oregon. It was blitzkrieg warfare. They came and just rushed them.
Yeah, I seriously think a lot of it has to do with the time off, but that's hard on a team to go roughly a month, because the Big Ten championship was the beginning of December, like the 4th or whatever, mm-hmm. and you don't play again until New Year's Day. That's a lot of time off. And people can say what they want to, but while you're still practicing and stuff like that, you're not doing a traditional, you know. Ohio State went from that to game prep for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then had like basically a bye week in between Tennessee and Oregon. And to me, that's a lot different than 4 weeks off. It's around the holidays. It's mm-hmm. it's just different. But and I think the game just got away from him. I think it was like a shell shock type.
No, 100% it was shell shock. And honestly, I think that's all you need. The receiver, what is it, Jeremiah Smith? He's so good. I think he's the best. He's probably the best receiver in the country, even though he's only a freshman. Like, is legit.
I was watching that game, and I'm like, thank God that Ohio State was not the 5 seed and played SMU and then played Boise State. I was like, yeah. Jeremiah Smith would have been an issue. And yeah. This game could have gotten ugly fast. Penn State's not known for their offense. Chip Kelly is an angry man right now and probably still holds some ill will for the punch of LeGarrette Blount.
No, that is very true. But last thing I want to say about this game, ask you a question. What do you think this does to Dan Lanning? I mean, Dan, like, do you think it's young enough where he can still grow, or do you think it starts to become? I mean, it just feeds into the when will Oregon actually win something that matters?
If they hadn't beaten Ohio State earlier in the year, I would be a little bit more concerned. But I think and I know they got blown out, but I think if you look at where Oregon was when he first got there, his first year, they got throttled by Georgia and that Chick-fil-A kickoff or whatever they call it. Like 56-3 or whatever the final score was.
Yeah.
I think they vastly improved. And I know like the big thing now, especially on social media, is like, oh, Oregon spent however many million dollars and didn't win. Okay. That doesn't mean you stop doing like that's the dumbest take I've ever seen in my life. Like, oh, you spent a lot of money and didn't win. Why would you do that? Okay, I'm going to do it again. No one says that about a pro sports team. No one's like, oh, well, you went out, you know, signed. Oh, the Warriors, you guys went out and signed LeBron. And, oh, wow, you won a title. That's what it is. Like, you don't stop doing something just because it doesn't work. That's true. Especially that. It would be one thing if it's like, okay, Well, you kept running the ball and you had 40 yards of offense going into the fourth quarter and continued. No, the guys are going to want the money. You have to do it. Sorry to break it to all the NIL haters out there. You have to do
Oh
it.
no, don't worry. We're going to get into that in transfer portal madness quite sooner. But quickly touch on the last game, Notre Dame versus Georgia. This game was delayed due to the attacks in New Orleans. Sad, but glad this game was only delayed a day because, man, it made my Thursday a lot better when I turned on the TV and just saw Mr. Burner himself, Parker Jones, just get in the way. Which I do want to say, ESPN was making it seem like Parker Jones was like the reason for like George's
I
downfall. When the fact that like, hey, maybe the quarterback that you are playing, it's his first ever career start and they just can't move the ball. Maybe that. But yeah,
And the memes need to stop.
does Parker Jones have a burner? That's what I want to know.
He probably does. The memes, specifically the one from Varsity Blues where the coach attacks the backup quarterback, needs to stop. Saying that was Kirby Smart at halftime. Also, I will give it to Kirby Smart. I had no clue, and he like has a great like, which I think is what makes him like one of the best coaches there is. I had no clue like his dad fell and was like and like he ended up his dad ended up passing away, but I had no clue his dad fell like. In New Orleans, like they were out doing something. His dad fell, broke his hip. They tried to do surgery, all this stuff. In between when the team arrived, obviously, and like Monday, his dad died, I think,
Wait,
or
what?
Sunday. Yeah, Kirby Smart's dad fell and broke his hip and had to have like an emergency surgery. And Kirby, like, no one even knew. Like, I didn't even see it until like his dad, when his
Holy
dad died, which was a
yeah, you're right.
couple days
After a
ago.
fall in
So.
New, yeah, I didn't know that. That's crazy. So I mean that when you view it from that lens, it's like shoot, like that's kind of a big thing to happen the night before a game for Georgia, but. I mean, they just look stagnant. And, credit to Notre Dame. Notre Dame played the exact game that they wanted to play. Riley and I are
Yes.
just going to have to do too much. And they're going to pound the football and they're going to play field position game, almost like Notre Dame almost, they play college football games like NFL football, where they're playing the field position game. And, it's like, man, they don't mind going up 13 nothing on you and kicking two field goals. Like, that's just their game. And they executed it to perfection. Props to
Yeah.
Marcus Freeman.
When he's another one of these, and I think you're starting to see it a little bit more. And I think like Kirby Smart's like this too. He might not be as, I mean, he is well known. That's not the right words for it. But if you really look at these teams who are starting to like kind of take off, the Notre Dame is on there, Georgia's on there. I don't think he's the same as them, but he is a younger guy, Ryan Day. Arizona State with Dillingham, Danielson at Boise State, Rhett Lashley at SMU. You're getting these younger kind of coaches in there. Like Marcus Freeman's like 38 years old,
Yeah,
which
like
is, and Dillingham's super, super young. Danielson's super, super young. So I do think it matters how much. Like Georgia obviously has better athletes than Notre Dame, but I do think that those guys are like w would go to war for Marcus Freeman. And obviously, I think Marcus Freeman's a great coach. Like you said, he knows what they do well and doesn't try to change it. What it would get interesting if they did get down like 21 nothing or something like that. I don't necessarily know. Outside of maybe Ohio State, if Texas or Penn State has that ability to jump up, like, because I think they're kind of built in
that
a similar
defense is so
way.
good. The
Yeah.
defense for Notre Dame is really good. And Riley Leonard, man, he just keeps doing his thing. Like it's he is he
And
reminds me of like the old school college quarterback, like before they had to do everything. Like it's just like
yeah.
he is
And that's
like
what.
a AJ McCarron like plus.
Yeah, and I think another thing I'll say, about Notre Dame is 12 years ago now, you saw what they looked like when they played Alabama in the national title. This didn't even weren't even playing the same sport. And this is kind of why I'm not out on Lanning yet, is Notre Dame's kind of been building to this for a while now. Like, before, like, I'm going to pull it up real quick. I don't want to see something. I should have had this up earlier. I apologize. But I think so many people want immediate success with a coach. But if you look at Notre Dame, right, if you go back to, like, the past decade or so, I saw 8 wins, 10 wins, and then random 4-win season. But here recently, since 2017, it's been 10 wins, 12 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins. So it might – I think people should be a little bit more patient with these coaches. Like, Oregon is on the right track. Notre Dame clearly is on the right track. Whoever you want to throw in there, that I think that if you're starting to show like, oh, yeah, it's annoying, we like are at this 10-win cap or whatever. But I don't think that's necessarily – like, even if Notre Dame were to lose to Penn State, I think there's so much improvement in how that team – how Notre Dame looks now compared to how they looked when they played in their last national championship against Alabama that you have to be have a positive outlook, I guess. And, like, it happened with Kirby Smart, too. There was, like – the whole, oh, can he? And it's still kind of there. Like, can he beat Bama? Can he beat Bama? Like, it seems like it now because Georgia's won so much recently. But his first few years there, it wasn't like people were starting to get kind of.
Oh, I remember the Jacob Eason year. I mean, it started to get a little bit, you know, like, started to get a little testy.
Yeah. And and it's kind of crazy. Kirby's been there 8 years now. I guess the second year they did make. They lost on the 2nd and 26 to Alabama in the national championship, but it was about like 8-5, 13-2, 11-3, 12-2, 8-2. And then they've been on their run here recently where they've, I mean, this year they had the third loss, but they've made the playoffs. I guess they didn't last year because they lost to Alabama. But my point stands that it takes a while to build some of this stuff. And I think sometimes like a season like that will happen where it's like, oh, second season, like we made the national championship game, you know, it's going to be like this forever. And no, I think it takes about 4 or 5 years to really build your program in your eye. Cause your first year you're learning your first couple years, it's not really a ton of people you want on the team. I mean, that's changed a little bit now with the transfer portal, but yeah, just give these guys a little bit of time, you know, and see what happens. Sark's another good Sark's a good example too. They got there last year. They're in the same spot now that they were last year. We'll see. They're going to be a big underdog, it sounds like, to Ohio State, but yeah,
you'll see. I mean, it's interesting how these coaches now. You bring up the points. It's interesting. Everyone's mindset and towards like the transfer portal, they want immediate success. Like they want it to happen immediately. And I do think the transfer portal can like accelerate that process instead of, you know, where you get someone like, I mean, the thing that comes to mind is honestly like Howard Schellenberger at Miami in the 70s and 80s, like essentially built a ground up program for like 6 years before he won a national championship. I think that time can be like cut in half now, but you know, it still takes time to build a program. And I mean, there was a couple programs this year and they were good, but like, I'm going to bring up Colorado, Ole Miss. Those are the first two that come to mind that have used the portal and they have drastically improved them from what they were.
And that's what I mean.
Before Kiffin and Prime got there, but they're still probably one step or two steps below national championship. So right, these things still bit. Take time, and it's so intriguing to see, man.
That's what I mean is, like, Ole Miss is the perfect example. Watch every game, every year. They even if this year was disappointing, and I agree it was disappointing, I think they were way better than 10-3. I still kind of look at it as, all right, well, you know, if that like keeps happening, that's one thing. But they're starting to punch the like glass ceiling or whatever saying you want to use of like, all right, like I don't think anybody who's being serious about a discussion would be like, oh yeah, there's like absolutely no way Ole Miss is competing with teams now. They beat Georgia, who's been the dominance of college football the past 4 years for the most part. You know, it even, like I said, Sark at Texas. Texas was barely a 500 team for basically like almost 15 years before he got there. They won the national title in 06, had a few good years after that, but fired Mack Brown, fired, I can't even think of the guy's name, the dude who was doing this to the Missouri quarterback.
Oh, I'm thinking of Charlie Strong.
Charlie Strong. I cannot think
Tom
of the
Herman.
Guy from Houston. Yeah, Tom Herman. And now their fans need to be patient too. Like, even if they lose to Ohio State, okay, so you lost to Georgia and you lost to Ohio State. It is trending in the right direction. And now more than ever, it's not a – and that's why I hate like the – oh, and I love Nick Saban. I think he's interesting, great coach and all that. Yeah, he has all the national championships. He also got the benefit of a 4-team playoff for the last half of his time at Alabama. How many national titles could Bobby Bowden have, or Steve Spurrier have?
Pete Carroll. I think of those USC teams.
Like Lou Holtz in the 90s at Notre, or late 80s, early 90s at Notre Dame. Like you look at like those Bobby Bowden FSU teams. They went like 15 straight years of finishing in the top five and lost like 10 games on missed field goals. So, and did anyone look at them at that time and be like, oh, you know, Bobby Bowden, that he's a okay coach, but we're not a good, no, you don't. So things happen in games and we can move on now, but I've just been thinking about that all week.
Yeah. The last thing I want to say about this whole transfer portal thing is that I'm going to keep this short and sweet. There's been a couple of, like, just a reminder to everyone, we'll dive deep more into the transfer portal. It's almost like a teaser, but to the schools, I'm telling you, from a guy who played football, Zuch, you played high school football, you've seen, like, the recruiting, like, at the ground level, and I've followed recruiting. Just because you get a big name doesn't mean he's going to pan out, specifically at schools that don't usually get these players.
Right. No, exactly.
I don't know how many 4 stars I could tell you have not panned out. 5 stars have not panned out. So just take everything with a grain of salt. Don't think because you got some guy, and this goes to every school. You have to be able to look about what they actually do and how they fit in your team. And I'll bring up someone like Cam Camper. Cam Camper is someone who at Boise State was not on anyone's radar impact-wise. Oh, injured guy from Indiana ends up being the number one receiver on a playoff team. And that kind of transfer catches no one's eye. And it works vice versa. I'm not going to name some names, but it works vice versa when you get these big splash transfers at some of these schools, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out. And you hope it works out somewhere else, or maybe it's just a couple years down the line, you know, where it'll work out at the school. But take every transfer with a grain of salt, because for every transfer portal success story, there's a transfer portal failure story.
Yes. And another thing I don't think people realize about that is they'll see some guys who they'll go from a smaller FBS to from a higher up FCS to a smaller FBS and go to like a Georgia or Alabama or whatever. It's more than just, at a certain point, it gets to be more than just playing time, in my opinion, for a lot of guys. Like, yeah, you might be going to one of those schools and being a depth piece, But you have to look at it as, okay, at least I this is how I kind of look at it, as, and I think this is kind of their point of view. Yeah, I might be going. And I know someone who just went from FCS and he just committed to Alabama. But it's more than just playing time. You can look at it and be like, oh, you're not going to play. Maybe not. Maybe something happens and you do play. But you're going to be around great coaches, have great facilities, be at a premier program, and all of that helps. People always say, like, oh, these guys, like, they're going to come to school here and get a great education and leave here and have a lot of opportunities. I'm sorry, but going to the University of Alabama gives you a lot more opportunities than going to Toledo. Not that you can't do anything at Toledo. I 100% think you can.
No, it makes sense, but especially football-wise, too. You know, if you're looking grad assistant jobs, if you're looking to work in sports media, like, all of this stuff.
Yeah, and it's – right. There's a lot that you can do, even if you are a backup. I mean, look at the dude that – he just took the offensive coordinator position at an ACC school, I think. I can't think of his name, but he's famous for that video where he's like doing the Nick Saban voice in the Alabama locker room. He's only doing that because he was playing football and knowing probably that he was never going to be a superstar at the University of Alabama.
And he could have started that receiver at an FCS school probably if he wanted to.
Right. But it's, and I understand that a lot of it is just people have their feelings hurt when somebody leaves their school to go to a different school and are like, oh, that's stupid. You're not going to play. Like this many guys enter the portal and only this many come out. A lot of that is people get told to leave too. I don't know if people understand that or not.
That is one thing too. I know if I've known about that. And by the way, that's been a thing long before the transfer.
Yeah.
Coaches trying to free up roster spots so that they can get different guys in. Yeah, that's a thing, people. Like, if there's any clip, like, clip this. It's the sad truth, but reality check for, I think, a lot of fans that, like, there are players. And it's not just, like, the programs you think. It's every single program in the country. I bet there's going to be a program. Oh, we don't do that. Okay, 90% of the programs in the country had conversations with kids this year. Going,
you
hey,
have to.
If you stay, you're probably never going to play. So I'm not going to force you to leave, but just so you know, if you like want to play football, I'm going to try to help you find somewhere where you can play football because right now you are getting lost in our depth chart and taking up a spot.
Right. And that's part of the game. And it's not one that is often talked about, but I mean, It just is. So we can move on because we're going to do a lot of portal talk later. But I am.
We'll see. We will first, Zuch, before we jump in depth into our semifinal predictions, I guess this episode will be coming out after the Penn State game, but before the Texas game. So it'll be interesting for our listeners to kind of see how we're talking about this Penn State Notre Dame game, see if it's true. But before, I got to quickly run through the list, Zuch. I mean, we got to make this quick, but I got some funny ones. As of course, every single week, the list, we bring you tweets that we find college football sports related. We do not support these tweets, but we do not condone these tweets. We are just reporters bringing you what me and Zuch see on Twitter. I'm going to go first. The first one comes from at Corsair Voicer Kid, and it's just a picture of Jason Whitlock, and it says, when you find out everyone was getting to smash at Fox Sports except you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, that whole Fox News story is unbelievable, and I'm not going to even touch it. But
I don't have a ton of college football list. I do have some NFL and Fox Sports.
Oh, it was just ridiculous. The second one, this one is from a cult classic, one of probably, I'm tired of saying one of our favorite account on Twitter, Big Content Guy. And this is what he had to tweet. He goes, Moana 3. Moana's people finally lose their tribe after all of the men are recruited to play nose tackle at USC. That's amazing. That is
That's a good one.
just an app. I say we don't condone or support. That one I support. That is a fire tweet. And the USC Trojans responded to him. This is one not even sports related. It was just a classic burner tweet I saw on my feed. It comes from at Tobias Clubber. And it says, "No pitchers? Fine, buddy. Have fun grabbing me 45 bottles tonight." Just very realistic, something that a lot of people can relate to. And then the last one is at Oregon Homer going, "I blame this thing." It was tweeted during the Rose Bowl when they were down by four touchdowns. And it's just a picture of our good friend Charlie Kirk wearing an Oregon shirt. He looks like a ghost and a Chucky the Cheese animatronic character. So, Zooch, I give my rest of this time to you.
So I have starting off, this was from at Jones to China, and it's a quote tweet of John Mara from the New York Giants, basically saying like he's frustrated, annoyed that the Giants suck, and he quote tweeted with a video of just Osama bin Laden giving a speech outside of a cave. Enough. I know
Giants
you
fans are
struggle,
not
Giants
real.
fans, but
Giants
you've won
fans, unreal.
two Super Bowls in my lifetime, so chill out. And then I had, I'm gonna scroll back up. Here we go. It was from at M. Berenstein, and it is a photo of Joe Biden putting a Medal of Honor on Magic Johnson, and it just says, "Careful with that pin." Okay.
Unbelievable.
Enough. And oh God, where? That one was mean. It had to do with Boise State, and I'm not gonna
Oh
bring
no.
up that one. That one was just too mean. But where is my last one? Oh God. For those at home, we send a lot of tweets.
Yeah, it's I mean, I feel like a lot of these listeners, you know, if you listen to us, you're probably in the burnerverse. And once you get in, there's no out, and you just keep diving deeper and deeper in.
I found it. It wasn't sent in the group. It was sent just to you. This one was from No Ho Isaiah, and it is a picture of the Ultimate Warrior. Raw started on Netflix last night, and it was just a picture of the Ultimate Warrior in his last appearance on Raw, which he died the next day, and it just says Hulk Hogan, hopefully.
Unbelievable. Wrestling fans, we could talk about in the off season if we have to fill time. If you guys think that college sports fans are crazy, you go to a World Wrestling Entertainment event and see for yourself. Let's just say people, I mean, Zeus, you got to see it in person, grown men flipping out about booking.
And then for, well, I'm not even going to mention this one. I did have one more. Do yourself a favor and just type in Mike Vrabel and Caleb Williams on Twitter. And
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, we cannot say that on. That's definitely one we condone. We condone that
yes.
tweet, and if we show that, we will get kicked off of YouTube. But it's on there, and someone did it. But anyway, we're gonna end the show, jumping into the semifinal games. So excited! We have three more games left of the college football season. Sorry, FCS fans, we're not talking about Montana and North Dakota State. So, Cody, sorry. But Penn State, Notre Dame, I'm fired up for this game, man. This is gonna be a, I think, just a bruiser heavyweight battle. And it's so cliche to say, but these are two quarterbacks that are looking for their prove it game. And what an opportunity one of these guys have, or both of them have, to kind of like take that next step, and to not only kind of like solidifying their team for a shot to play as a national championship, but also kind of solidify themselves as these are two guys who are probably both coming back next year, and they're going, I'm the best returning quarterback in the country coming back.
Yeah, I mean this is it's just such a similar matchup. And there's a lot of cool things about this matchup. It's two teams who for a while people have said their heyday was, 80s, 90s. They've had a couple a few, more than a couple, a few decent seasons in this century, but haven't won a national title. I mean, the closest they've gotten is Notre Dame just getting smacked by Alabama that we talked about a decade or so ago. It's, and it's two of the blue bloods. Like, it was two teams, and it's true that you turned on in the 80s or 90s, and they were national championship contenders, you know? So I'm excited to see. I mean, you have James Franklin, who is trying to, like, get out, kind of get over that hump we talked about earlier of you keep winning 10, 11 games, maybe not the big ones, blah, blah, blah. And you have Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, who he's won some big games, but he's had the letdown ones too. You know, the Northern Illinois loss, the Marshall loss. They were up big against Oklahoma State in his first game after Brian Kelly left. So I'm really excited for this one, but I'm leaning towards Notre Dame to win this one.
I'm
just
also
cause
leaning towards Notre Dame.
I just think that they are going to create enough. We said it a couple weeks ago when we were previewing the Notre Dame Georgia game. Riley Leonard doesn't, and I hope I'm not jinxing him, but Riley Leonard doesn't.
I guess we'll see. This is coming out the morning after. We could look like idiots.
Riley Leonard doesn't turn the ball over, but he's not asked to, you know, throw it 40 or 50 times. And we said that. I compared him to the Alabama quarterbacks in old, and even to a degree, Stetson Bennett. Like, Stetson Bennett might have a 300, 400 yard game here and there, but overall, it wasn't, all right, we need you to throw for 335 every week. And really, Penn State, I just think they're more turnover prone, I guess, and Notre Dame is elite at creating turnovers. And Penn State, they've played SMU, they've played Boise. That, to me, like, you still have confidence and stuff, but beating Georgia gives you a lot of, like, that was a big hump for Notre Dame to get over because of how those games have gone in the past against the elite competition of college football. So Penn State has
I agree
hasn't done that yet, so we'll see.
I definitely think, you know, Riley Leonard, like Drew Aller, but for some reason I feel like Riley Leonard looks a little more frantic when he does this. It's like Abdul Carter could give Riley Leonard some issues. That defense could, because we've seen Riley Leonard play well, but we've also seen Riley Leonard be like, that is the stupidest throw I've ever seen. Right. Even one of those throws in the Indiana game at the very beginning, Indiana didn't capitalize, but like, it's just like the, what are you doing throws? Like, that is it. And to a team like Penn State, like, they could move the ball, like, maybe not as well as some of the other teams left in the playoffs still. But I also lean Notre Dame, and I love the Penn State defense. I just love the way they fly around. But for some reason, I just feel it's going to come down to, for some reason, I feel like I trust Marcus Freeman and his staff more, if that makes sense. And I could look like an idiot saying that because I know this is coming out afterwards, but Big Game James, I think you saw a little bit of sprinkling of Big Game James in versus SMU and SMU blunders, a little bit less versus Boise, but it was still there. Boise got it 14-17. Couple penalties.
That, if they had lost to Boise State, that would have been a detrimental lot, because there is no reason that game should have been that close when it was close. I personally believe, and I went to the Boise State University, like, and it, I was like, all right, Penn State's a lot better than us. I don't particularly know why they're asking Drew Aller to throw it 800 yards down the field right now when they are just like running it down our throats like it's on freshman.
That's what I mean. No, it's stuff like that. Just something seems off on the offensive side of the football for Penn State. And it's not off by a little bit. And that's not me saying they're a bad offense, because they're not. They're a very good offense. But Notre Dame right now is humming. And like I said, maybe that's going to get quoted and clipped, and I'm going to look like some absolute idiot. Don't care. I'm gonna go out, and I think Notre Dame gets it done, man. I think they get it done.
Well, and I'll just say, and this is not any reason to pick why who you think's gonna win. And I'm kind of giving away my pick for the next game. It just sets up too perfectly. Marcus Freeman played at Ohio State, plays Ohio State in the national championship game. You know for a fact ESPN will have like Jim Tressel interviewing him and Ryan
and,
Day about.
And he will be wearing a vest. Yes.
It just it sets up too perfectly for that. It just I'm a storyline guy, and the storyline would be fantastic for ESPN. Notre Dame's in it, Ohio State's in it. Can Ryan Day get the big win? Can Marcus Freeman beat his old team where he started as a GA?
Yep.
You know, earlier this year, there was a lot of people like, "Oh, if they fire Ryan Day, like maybe they'll hire Marcus Freeman."
Oh,
so I gave away my second pick, but
I think I gave away mine too. And this is a game. Ohio State right now is playing with a team with his ass lit on fire, and they are because they are essentially in. If they don't win the national championship, like it is like failure of a season. Not like, oh man, we did all right because you didn't beat Michigan and you didn't win the Big Ten. So it's like, shoot, it's like all or nothing right now to kind of be like, we had a good year. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Unfair, but it's Ohio State. Texas, love the way Texas defense has looked, but offense has been shaky. And when you throw in the fact that that kicker now looks shaky, because Brett Auburn was a solid kicker. I mean, he biffed like three. And I don't know. I just think Ohio State comes out in a blitzkrieg again. And I think Texas weathers it better than Oregon. But I think at the end of the day, it's just too much.
Yeah, they've just been so strong recently. Part of me really thinks what might happen in that game is if Ewers, and I have been saying this for a while now, it just hasn't really happened yet. But if Quinn Ewers struggled, I still think we might see Arch Manning. And that would, I mean, that would
I
also
mean, it,
be.
It makes it interesting, like, I think the storyline of this game is something I want to talk about. Is that I do think Ohio State's going to win. The storyline that's interesting, like you said, is the Quinn Ewers conundrum because he right now is, what, probably a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, would you say? Probably a third, fourth-round
yeah.
pick. He still has one more year of eligibility. There is not a chance in hell anyone but Arch Manning is playing quarterback at Texas next year. So let's say Quinn Ewers has an okay game, but like loses. It doesn't look great. It like this Ewers transfer. Like this is the crazy.
He goes
like,
back to Ohio State to replace Will Howard.
But like, but then like Will Howard would be a national championship, at least placing.
Is he a senior or junior? Howard. I don't even. It's so confusing now with.
Can Riley Leonard come back too? Like
I think Riley Leonard is a senior. I'm almost positive
so
he is.
Because I've like, does Ewers go to like Notre Dame? Does Ewers actually? Yeah, let's play this game first. We gotta get the predictions first. Do you have Ohio State, Texas? Yeah, you have
Ohio State.
I also have Ohio State. The second prediction I have to ask you: if you were Quinn Ewers and you decided to not go to the NFL, and then Sark goes, Arch Manning's my starter next year. What school do you go to?
UTEP.
And you have mean. Fucking oh my god. Oh my god. Someone on Bronco Nation updates is gonna find that clip and we're gonna get fucked. because I'm taking into consideration like quarterbacks on roster too, right? I'm looking like, does he go to somewhere?
Honestly, I think he ends
Miami?
Up at probably like a Miami.
It's like Syracuse.
I would
like
think he would end up at a Power Five, but
it's
I mean,
too
I
late
really
in the
don't
process.
Know.
A lot of schools have their quarterbacks still. Like that's the crazy part. Like it would be a team that already thinks they have a quarterback, but then goes, "Oh shit, we can get this." That's what it would be.
Yeah.
It would be a school like maybe. Does he go to like a TCU? No, but
he should.
But that would be like a step down, right? Like, I love TCU, but like,
well, and I honestly think he might just go to the draft. Not that it's like it's an interesting draft class. I hate saying weak because I feel like every time someone says it's weak, then those guys end up being like filthy. And then when the years they say, oh, it's like the world's greatest draft class, then
Zach Wilson, Trey Lance.
Yeah. They're like terrible. But, and part of that too is with how quarterbacks have gotten treated in the NFL lately, like draft wise, is you might think you're a fourth round guy, but let's say that Sanders, Cam Ward both go in the top three, then you probably shoot up to second or third round, even if you're, you know, a third or fourth round grade.
Who are the better QB prospects than? Obviously, there's Ward and Sanders.
Let's see what Mel Kiper said.
The Dylan Gabriels, who's like good, but like I put yours and Gabriels pretty comparable. Then you're getting like Kyle McCords. You're getting who else?
Guys. Mel Kiper has Jackson Dart as number three. Mel Rose in it. Carson Beck. But I don't necessarily. He has Quinn Ewers as six.
Carson Beck. Carson, clip this. Carson Beck's a Raider. Trust.
Jackson Dart. Come down to Las Vegas. Who needs a new coach now? They got rid of.
Carson Beck is a Raider.
Carson Beck
Jackson Dart Raider. Could be. Jackson Dart could be a good Raider too. All of these guys could be good Raiders, except for Quinn Ewers. He's a little. He doesn't get in as much. The Raiders just need and Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel needs to be in like Seattle.
Yeah, the Raiders, to get back to form, we need some, you know, Bill Romanowski types on the on the field.
Yes, Bill Romanowski. Oh my gosh, what an absolute psycho that guy was. Great player though. But no, it's funny. I think the Ewers situation could be very, very interesting this game. We're gonna move on. What everyone's been waiting for. If you listen to our picks, you already know who we have making our national championship game. But Zuch, I'm going to defer to you. Who wins the national championship and give me a score?
I just, based on how they play, how they can shorten the game to where you only have a limited amount of drives, great defensive backs. I seriously think it's going to be Notre Dame this year. I mean, I could be completely wrong and look like an idiot by when people are listening to this on Friday.
Yeah.
But I just think that they, I mean, you want to talk about humming. Ohio State's been humming for a couple weeks. Notre Dame's been humming since that Northern Illinois loss. And I know that's a terrible loss, but that was in the second weekend of
Mountain
September.
West. That's a Mountain West loss now.
Right, it is. It was second week of September, and they since then have just they've been on a tear. I mean,
no, I agree. I also
they have Louisville was kind of close, but I mean, 59-point win, 25-point win, 42-point win, 18, 37, and like some of these teams aren't great, but. It was scheduled as supposed to, like Florida State was supposed to be good. USC was supposed to be good. I guess they weren't, but they've been humming for a while now. And I wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State won, but I just have a feeling that it's going to be Notre Dame this year.
I also tend to lean Notre Dame. And I think the game that they're going to play with Ohio State's going to be similar to that one that you remember the Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence, the one where it was close, the blowout one, the one where it was close and Justin Fields throws that pick at the end. Yes. I think it's going to be something very similar to that game where it's almost like the game pace is like a shootout, but it's not like a true, like, oh my gosh, 48-55 shootout.
Right.
It's still very like, tough to move the ball, and you're going to get some big chunk scramble plays like Trevor Lawrence had. That's the kind of game I envision up seeing. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what quarterbacks pretty much out of this whole top four steps up. There's a lot of guys that have a lot to prove to haters, And I'm a hater, so one of these guys is going to prove me wrong. And I can't wait. I can't wait for one of these guys to be like, you know what, Diego? Like, I am the man. You know, JJ McCarthy did it last year, and I'm excited to see who's the guy who's going to step up. I think it's going to be Riley Leonard at Notre Dame. Yep. That's the guy.
Well, and
that's
and Notre Dame win. Last thing I would say, just to screw with Ryan Day, if I was Marcus Freeman, I would have Lou Holtz like release some video questioning how tough Ohio State is, just to see him have a meltdown again about Lou Holtz.
I would also go on Jim Tressel's podcast like during the week.
He's and, been
like,
on there.
I'd go on again and just start talking Ohio State memories. Like, oh man, the horseshoe is just amazing, and like that fan base is just like there's changed my life. Like just all this stuff just would be incredible.
He's too nice of a guy, but yeah, I have Notre Dame this year. I would be thrilled with that outcome. I might have to hang back up my Play Like a Champion Again sign that I had as a child that I would just walk by furiously for like the first 20 years of my life when they were losing to Purdue. Okay. But
hypothetical. Last thing I'll say, I don't know why this came to my mind. Who would you rather have leading the Notre Dame Fighting Irish out? Jeff Samardzija or Manti Te'o?
Samardzija. The thing is...
Okay.
That's what I was kind of explaining to Cody the other day, is growing up, it was a little different than it is now. Like, I still watched Ole Miss when I was could, kept up with them, all that stuff. But it used to be, like, we had satellite and stuff, but you just had ABC, CBS... college football wasn't even really on Fox that I remember when I was a kid all that much. But
you had only probably one ESPN channel at the time.
Yeah, ESPN and ESPN2. So, and we like grew up, raised Catholic, still Catholic. Loved Notre Dame, like had all their stuff, like would buy everything. And Notre Dame was the difference between the two is Notre Dame was a team that like if you went to the bookstore – and you're like, oh, I want to get something about Notre Dame. They had that. They don't have stuff about Ole Miss because Ole Miss hasn't won anything recently. But, yeah, it would be – I watched them all the time. It's the only time I've ever cried in a game was the Bush.
Okay.
That destroyed me.
Okay. Second question. Would you rather have Manti Te'o or Ian Book lead the team out?
I'm going Ian Book. I liked Manti Te'o, but like the last time he led Notre Dame out.
I feel like you are just envisioning Manti Te'o's the answer there. However, you're doing what I would do, and you're just envisioning Twitter if things go south. It would be like the Roger Carey on falling with the American flag.
But I started dying laughing because Troy was filming it, and I was like, that is not a good sign that he just face planted. And I should have put this on the list, but I don't remember if we talked about it on our last show. Mean tweet, who has a worse girlfriend, Travis Hunter or Manti Te'o? Come on. But
oh my gosh, classic stuff, man. It's really classic. But yeah, I'm excited to watch these games. By the time y'all listen to this, Penn State, Notre Dame will be over, and we're going to have a great game tonight. Ohio State versus Texas. I'm so fired up. We don't have many football games left.
No, but
so we have to cherish these.
Coming to an end.
It is coming to an end, but we're going to cherish these last games, watch them with friends, watch them with food, enjoy them, have a beer. You know what? If you haven't had a beer in a while, I know there might be. Hopefully there's not some seltzer only. Actually, it's January, so there's probably a lot of dry January out there. Why don't you crack open a beer and watch these last games?
Yeah, enjoy.
You know,
the game.
Not a lot. Just nachos. Crack open a beer. Yeah, have the nachos. Get the pulled pork sandwich. Yeah, split the fries. How about that? Like, we need to enjoy these last three games because coming in about 2 weeks, we're not gonna have games till August. Not gonna have games till August.
Be sad.
Zero. It's going to be sad, except for the spring games, which everyone will overanalyze, which will be funny. All right.
They will. That's it for me. Enjoy the games. You got three left. So you have 3 hours of football left, three playable hours of football left in college. So enjoy.
You are going to enjoy it. All right. With that being said, We thank all of y'all for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us at Settle Down Media on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Your support means the world. Thank you, and we will see you next week with National Championship Full Breakdown. Godspeed.